It is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And I'll see if I can't screw these names up. Tonight we have our guests, some of the students from Columbine who were there when the whole thing went down. And, geez, I don't know, what month was that in?
April.
Yeah, I think I remember where I was. You remember where you were, Drew?
No.
You don't?
No.
What kind of insensitive thinking is that?
I just don't remember.
All right.
I remember seeing old stuff.
All right. All right. I remember exactly where I was.
Where were you?
I was at home.
Pretty good bet that no matter what day that happened, that's where you were.
Yeah. I was thinking, hey, it's good to be at home. Alicia, now I'll see, because there's some tough names to pronounce here. Alicia Encinas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is one of our guests, Courtney Herville.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Rich Hoover is okay. Here. That is a layup. And they're all in different places at different times during this tragedy, this disaster. And I think, and Drew, you're going to help me out tonight because this is a little more your speed than it is my speed, right?
Yeah.
You got some information. You got this sheet here. You got some stuff to talk about.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard you guys first. I saw all over the news today that you guys were in town playing softball.
Yeah.
Yeah, who? I'm trying to think which one of you I saw get thrown out at first. I thought to myself, what the hell kind of attitude is that? Poor kids, they survived this horrible disaster. You dribble one down to third base, you gun the chick out? You couldn't just fumble it around a little bit, let her beat it out?
They let her go to second.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well,
yeah, but now you know that. Yeah, you go back to Colorado 0-1, or you know, I don't know how many times you got up, but I'm guessing there wasn't a grand slam, or they would have put that on the news.
No grand slam for me.
All right, so let's first go through your stories and where you were and you know what happened during the tragedy. First off, I don't even know what time of the day this whole thing
11?
Started.
11:20.
Late morning.
11:20, so that's like third period or coming on to lunch?
Fifth.
What do you guys start at 4 in the morning?
7:30. 50-minute classes.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to do this math. When I went to high school...
It's been a while.
You did the hippie school.
Oh, no, so 10. We wrote with quills and studied by lantern light, but first period was like 1... It was like 8 o'clock to 9, and then 9 to 10 was second, and then and 10 to 11... Oh, I guess it'd be fourth. Yeah, all right. Well, you guys, and what do you have? So you have like 30 classes each?
So, well, that year we had 7. Now we have 8.
Oh, you have 8?
Yeah.
You're going the wrong direction. You're supposed to take less as you get. Now, what is everybody now?
We're juniors.
We're all juniors.
So you were all sophomores
last year
when this tragedy happened. It's 11:20, and we'll start with Alicia. Where are you when this happens?
I'm down in the commons. It was first lunch, and we were just sitting down there, and that day I was trying to impress a guy, and had on a cute little skirt, big shoes.
Huge shoes.
Yeah. Not the... And you're in a cafeteria?
Yeah.
Not running shoes.
And you're eating?
Yes. Well, I didn't want to eat because I didn't want like my stomach to get big.
You just wanted to be seen in your big shoes.
Yeah, and my cute little skirt.
And so you're sitting down in the cafeteria, and you're just sort of posing next to some food, and it's 11:20, and what happens? What's your first inkling something's up?
Well, a girl, a freshman at the time, came in to the commons from outside. And she told us that, well, she kind of yelled to her friend that, you know, there's two guys shooting people outside. And, you know, we're not going to believe something like that, you know, but I just kind of got a chill down my spine and everybody else is just like,
It's not an open area that you're in then. It's in,
no, yeah,
you come through a door.
Yeah, you come through a door.
Mm-hmm. So the door's shut. She opens the door, slams the door behind her. The door shuts behind her and she says, these guys are shooting out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, a custodian started telling us to get under the tables, and we didn't know what was going on at this time, and we all got under the tables, and a lot of people thought Kosovo was bombing us. And
makes sense.
Yeah. So everybody was scared that we were in the war. And we were down there for a while. Everybody's like, stay down, stay down. And
now, are you hearing shots at this point?
No, we didn't see anything until we started seeing smokes, like, out come on out of the doors.
Is there any other exit out of the cafeteria other than the door that she came through?
About five.
Is there any thought about going out, you know, the other direction or anything like that, or people trying to get out?
Well, we were told to stay under our tables, and then when we started seeing smoke, it was just kind of a big whoosh,
uh-huh.
And everybody went up the stairs.
So out, sort of out the back direction,
up to the upper level.
Let me tell you guys something about tables. When you get older, they don't factor into your life at all. As a child, they're fully three quarters of your life. Get under the table, hide under the table. A lot of getting under tables and stuff in school. You get older, you forget all about the table. You know, no one says, hey, get under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something, the table is sort of provides some sort of shelter from
high school and below.
Age 6 to 18, and then the table's gone. All right, so you're under the table. Now you see smoke, so you're going out the back, or you're going up the stairs.
Yeah, up the stairs.
Where do the stairs lead to?
They lead up to the upper level,
mm-hmm.
And it hits the science hall.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people turn to the left, and for some reason I thought it was too crowded, so I went on the other side of the stairs.
How many people are you talking about in
about
the cafeteria?
500.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's a big place, and there's a ton of people, and everyone's going for the same exit at once.
Yeah. And so I went towards the right, and Mr. Sanders was with me, and we were running towards the library. I guess he wanted to go because he was going to warn him or something. But a gunman came in, and he started shooting at us. And
well, he came into the hall that you were coming
down? He came in through the upper west side doors of our school, and he started shooting at us, and that's when Mr. Sanders got shot first.
And was it just you and Mr. Sanders, or was there a group of you?
It was just me and him.
Just you two alone going down a hall?
Going down a hall, yeah.
And these people came up, were they behind you, or were you facing
them? No, we were facing him, and he just turned towards us, and he started shooting. And Mr. Sanders got shot, and I didn't realize how hurt he was until we got out of the place that I was.
So he was able to keep going at that point?
Yeah. But when we turned around, he fell and I fell and we all got trampled on. And
by whom?
By the people still running up the stairs.
So it's like you guys, everyone went up the same stairs. Everyone went left. You two went right.
And you came back.
And you came back.
And then we came back.
When the gunfire came from that direction.
Yeah.
And so you got back and he was wounded and you both fell down and people were panicking and trampling. And then what happened?
And then I ran into Courtney's classroom, which was a biology classroom, and I guess they didn't really know what was going on, and I was crying and screaming, and we all ran into a little greenhouse room that was next to the science room, and it was just pretty close to the library,
mm-hmm.
And we stayed in there for 4 hours.
What happened to the teacher?
I didn't see him after that.
He was left on the stairs?
Well, I don't know if he moved somewhere. I guess he was still running around.
And then he passed away later, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Where was he? Do you know where he was shot?
The shoulders.
And what happened? Did you think he bled to death?
Well, he did bleed to death, but he got shot twice.
Oh, boy.
And when he got shot, it went, I guess, up his neck and out his mouth.
You mean the gunman found him again and shot him?
Yeah.
Oh.
He got shot, yeah.
Oh.
He did a lot to save a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So he was shot once in the shoulder and able to sort of keep moving,
mm-hmm.
but then once he stopped, they caught up to him.
Yeah.
So what kind of guns were they firing? Were they automatic guns?
Shotguns.
They had shotguns and automatics.
Yeah.
Okay, so meanwhile, so everyone's just scattering in all different directions, and these guys are basically focusing on the library? Or
that's kind of where they ended up. Yeah, that's pretty much where they ended up.
Yeah, I think
they seemed to have a plan to go through the whole school.
Their initial plan was they had propane bombs. They had propane bombs in the cafeteria, and their initial plan was those would go off, and kids would come running out, and they'd be standing in the parking lot, shooting at kids running out.
Oh boy! So now, Courtney, you're in the biology room or the science room that Alicia runs into.
Yeah.
Did you guys know each other at this point?
Yeah, we were. We were kind of good friends before it happened, and then we kind of grew apart. And so we kind of knew each other, but we weren't really talking at the time.
Right. But I'm sure you're able to put whatever differences you had aside at the time.
Yeah.
And so now you guys all huddle into a particular area of the biology room, which is right next to the library, and sort of wait it out. Are you hearing gunshots at this point?
Yeah, there was a little tiny green room next to my classroom, and there was about 30 kids that ran into there, my class, and then about five others from the cafeteria that had run in, and my teacher, Mrs. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed on the tile for like 4 hours and just huddled with each other and cried, and we could feel the bombs go off and feel the floor shake.
Now, do these doors, excuse me, is there any way of locking like a classroom door from the inside?
There was two doors that went into this greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
One was that went into our classroom,
mm-hmm.
and my teacher was sitting against that door, and then the other one went out into the main hall, which is... You walk out it, and there's the stairs right there, and you turn to the left, and there's the library, right? And that was locked. And there's a window on that door, but they had put a poster over it.
Was there any thought of, are you on the second story now?
Yeah.
Is there any thought of getting the window open and trying to get out that way? Or?
No, because there were lots of... plants and science, like squids and that kind of stuff.
See, all those avocado seeds that you put in the water with the toothpaste had taken over the entire class.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, okay, so you guys are huddled in there. The door's locked, though. At least you're feeling somewhat secure. But the bombs are going off. You're shaking. I didn't know how many bombs actually went off. Did quite a few go off?
Quite a few, yeah. A lot.
How did they get all of that stuff in there beforehand?
Someone weird that it was after prom, and prom was the Saturday before, which is on the 17th of April.
There's a lot of rumors that we've heard that we don't know for sure.
We're not sure.
Boy. And then these are all propane bombs?
They had two, apparently we don't know for sure, but we think that they had two propane bombs, one in the kitchen of the school and one in the cafeteria by the...
And then the rest pipe bombs.
Oh, rest pipe.
Yeah.
Okay. And okay. So now, Rich, where are you when all this starts up?
I'm in the weight room, which is like on the opposite end of the school.
Right.
And the shooting started at 11:20, and at 11:20 we were in the locker room, working out, not working out, getting dressed.
Right.
And we went from the locker room to the gym.
Did you hear anything way over there?
Not a clue at all. No, we had no clue.
You're just going about your business.
Right, right. And meanwhile, you know, this is all taking place downstairs, and we go into the gym to stretch and take attendance. And then we walk from the gym to the weight room. And meanwhile, this is all going downstairs. And so we went into the weight room and got on our belt because I was doing a workout where you can hurt your back, so I had to put on a belt. And then went over and had enough time to put weight on the bar and then get under it and start working out.
And who came in and told you guys?
Well, what happened was, when we first got in the weight room, this girl had come in and told our teacher that there are kids down in the cafeteria with guns. And he thought paintball guns are BB guns.
Right.
And he didn't really say anything to us. We didn't even realize he was gone. And so he went downstairs to check it out and see what's going on. And we couldn't hear any of the kids running or any of the bombs because when we work out, we have loud music.
Oh, kids today. We had one guy who played the tuba. That was all we could get. Jesus. And you know, I don't want to make light of the tragedy, but have you seen a school? It's like an amazing, it looks like a university.
Yeah, it's a beautiful school.
To me. I mean, my school is just like dump. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, just asphalt and a flagpole. They're seriously, a lot of the classes were trailers.
Yeah.
Like these weird bungalow
trailers.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the news. I was thinking, first thought was, geez, what a tragedy. Second thought was, Jesus Christ, it's a beautiful school. It looks like a new airport or something. So they're pumping music in. The teacher goes.
Right.
And what happens to him?
Well, apparently he went downstairs to see what's going on and got down there and saw that it wasn't paintball guns or BB guns and realized it was guns. And he came running upstairs, and he met the principal of our school.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we didn't know any of this. This is a story he told us.
Right.
So he ran back to, or Mr. D told him, Mr. DeAngelis, our principal,
right,
told him that there were gunmen in the school, and he wanted him to go, our teacher, to go back to the front office and let all the ladies out, make sure they get out of the school. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on his way down there, and he saw one of the gunmen shooting. And then he realized that we were in the weight room, probably still.
Right.
So he pulled the fire alarm.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, and he said he had it in his mind. He pulled every single fire alarm regardless, even though the alarm was still going off.
Right. So when you heard the fire alarm,
we thought it was just a drill. Or
and you guys all went out to the front of the school or wherever you'd trained to go?
The weight room has a back door.
Mm-hmm.
And it was straight outside. And we walked outside.
So, you were pretty lucky to be where you were.
Oh, yeah.
When you were.
Yeah.
Relatively lucky. You could have been in a different country.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, we heard rumors that they were going after jocks.
Right.
And where they had to go, apparently they came from Clement Park. They had to walk by the weight room to get down to the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And if they were going after jocks, they could have taken a sharp left and gotten a room full of 30 jocks.
Right.
Right. Just right, right there.
And you played on the baseball team?
Yeah, I played baseball.
With
Columbine.
With one of the gunmen, though.
Yeah, many, many years ago. I was probably 10 or 11. I played with Dylan on the baseball team.
What kind of guy was he?
Well, when I knew him back then, he was a cool guy. He was our pitcher. He was a big kid. He threw pretty hard.
And any clue as to where all this came from? Did he seem introverted or weird or angry or anything?
About fifth grade, he kind of started. He was a real shy kid to begin with. And then he kind of just individualized, became his own person, I guess. Didn't really have a lot of friends, kind of shy, didn't talk to very many people. And recently, I mean, he started wearing sunglasses in school and a trench coat. And he wasn't in the trench coat mafia. A lot of people think he was.
Well, was there? How many strong were the trench coat mafia? Did you guys know who they were? Did you see them around?
Well, it's kind of interesting because it was kind of a cafeteria name. They'd be sitting there in their little table.
Right.
Playing their card games or whatever they do.
Right.
And because they're all wearing trench coats, we call them the Trench Coat Mafia, just as a joke. And they kind of took it under as their motto, their name.
Right. I mean, every school, and Drew, I know you didn't have this at your school. Drew didn't go to a public school. He went to the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs in Pasadena. And I know you guys had to wear ascots and navy blazers. You had a dress code. But at my school in Spats, I think, was another part of the dress code. I went to a public school, and there was like the new wavers and the punk rockers and the surfers and the bikers. Everyone had their own sort of entire clique, and it sort of had to do, it's sort of a combination between your clothes and your hair is what got you into the clique. But no one took much notice from one to another. Some were scarier than others, but it didn't necessarily mean anything. You know what I mean? Like, right. I hear a lot of people saying, well, you saw kids wearing trench coats. Someone should have put a stop to it right then. But anyone who goes to high school where there's no dress code knows that the people that dress alike sort of like the same music and have the same hobbies, and they end up congregating together, and they dress a little weird, and it's a little antisocial. But that's been going on for 100 years.
Yeah.
So,
you know, this wouldn't have seemed, I mean, until this tragedy, it wouldn't have seemed that out of the ordinary.
Oh, no, it wasn't really, you know, we just kind of there.
It wasn't like people were talking about it or saying this is a time bomb that's ready to go off.
Right, we. Well, especially Columbine at our school.
So they then end up sort of in the library, and they're basically, now is there, how many people were in the library before they entered?
I have no clue. No, a lot of people, because they'd either go to lunch or they'd go to the library and study.
So they're in there, and they basically now have killed, I don't know how many people outside of the library.
They killed two.
Two outside.
Two people.
Before they entered
the library. A student and a teacher.
And they shot
no, two students.
Two students.
Yeah.
And then the teacher who
with. They shot a teacher when they entered. Then Mr. Sanders, and then they went into the library.
So they killed two students.
Shot two teachers.
And they shot a couple kids up.
They shot some kids outside.
And now they're in the library.
Yeah.
And now, how long were they in there with everybody? Does anyone
know
exactly?
We have no clue. We've heard that they, you know, there's a lot of theories going around that they were in there for a couple minutes, that this only took place for a couple, and then we heard that they were in there for hours.
But they didn't kill everyone in the library.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And see, that's the interesting thing. You know, I've heard stories of a kid who they walked up to and said, "You're cool, leave." And
so,
they just walked out. They left, you know.
But there were people who were in the library who were there for the entirety of the library ordeal.
Right.
And they would know
how long
it lasted,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, we were in the greenhouse for 4 hours, maybe.
Right.
And I'd say that the shooting lasted an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most.
Oh, really? But it really went on that long, huh?
Yeah. As far as we felt it,
so you,
yeah,
you could hear, so you're in there, it's now, what, 11:30, something like that?
Yeah. Sometimes it'd stop, and then it'd come back on.
Yeah. Right.
But
I mean,
before it was just absolutely silent, we didn't hear anymore. It was about 2 hours.
So you're in there at 11:30. You know, 10 minutes after this thing started, basically,
mm-hmm,
and you're huddled in the green room, and there's 2 hours while you're huddled in there that you're hearing sporadic gunshots go off.
Right.
Boy, I see. It seems bizarre that it went on. I mean, you know, you all know. I mean, it's like it with this kind of situation, 10 minutes is a lifetime.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, 2 hours. It just seems like an incredibly long period of time.
It went by like minutes, though.
It went by really fast when the gunshots were going off and you feel the bombs and stuff.
So you're in there, and you're still hearing shots for 2 hours. So now it's 1:30 mm-hmm in the afternoon, and mm-hmm now you stop hearing shots.
Yeah. We still hear the fire alarms and everything,
right,
but I think it gets worse because you don't know what they're doing. You don't know where they are.
So now you're in there for another couple hours before someone comes and gets you?
Yeah.
Who comes and gets you?
The SWAT team. Yeah, the SWAT came in.
So they came in. So you would hypothesize that by that time they committed suicide 2 hours earlier?
We didn't know
at the time, but I mean, now you would assume?
We really didn't know because when they took us out of the classroom, I mean, there's still SWATs pointing their guns at the library. And they rushed us out real fast. They told us to put our hands up and squat down and everything. So, I don't know, it kind of gives you the feeling that they haven't found them yet or that they got away, that they're dead or that they have them in the custody.
So is what happened that they're now held up in the library and there's quite a few students in there,
mm-hmm,
and they proceed to shoot 10 or 12, or how many in the library?
They killed 10 in the library.
Killed 10 in the library, and then they killed themselves in the library?
Yeah.
And there's quite a few other students that are just sort of
wounded,
that are just in the library who they've either decided not to kill or overlooked somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
And I imagine that the second, I'm guessing, although I don't know, after they killed themselves, did those students then pile out or do you think they waited?
What actually happened is, I guess, Dylan and Eric went downstairs, I guess, I don't know if they're shooting the bombs or whatnot, but when they left, all the kids ran that could run.
I see.
There was, two or three left in the library that couldn't run.
Is that when Pat got out?
Yeah, Pat was one of them.
Pat Ireland, that fell out of the window.
Oh, right. No, was that the library window?
Yeah, that was the library window.
Oh, I see. So they left and he jumped out of the window.
Yeah.
And that was a couple hours after the whole thing started. She's kind of, you know, this is why whenever I watch these cop movies and the guy yells, no time for backup, I'm going in, I always think, what do you mean? I turn on the news, they've surrounded a Safeway supermarket. It's been 3 days before anyone goes in there. And then they send dogs in, and then it turns out that the guy crawled out through the air conditioning duct on Tuesday. But, I mean, shouldn't they be heading on in? I mean, I understand there's danger in everything, but that's why you're on the SWAT team.
The situation is kind of difficult because
it's such a big school, you don't know where they are.
You don't want to second guess people, but anyway, that's part of my job is to criticize things I don't know about. I understand 15 minutes. You guys arrive and there's confusion on the scene or whatever, but 2 hours. It was really 2 hours? I mean, don't you got to head on in after about an hour and 45 minutes?
I think they were already in there because when we were sitting in the green room, we heard conversation between a couple of people. Personally, I thought I heard people saying, get down, drop the gun.
And is there not a phone in anywhere that anybody can give anyone a heads up with where these guys are?
There was a lot of cell phones.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There's a lot of cell phones. Well, not with us. You know, it was a lot of pagers were going off. A lot of kids had pagers, but we didn't.
You're hiding under a desk and your mom's paging you.
We put him on the vibe.
Yeah, I wish Drew would do that once in a while in the studio.
Yeah.
All right, well, wait a second. We're running late for break. This is it's tragic, but it's fascinating at the same time. And I have more questions for you guys. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a little time out and we'll come back. We have some of the students from the Columbine High School, and they're here talking about the experience, and we'll get back to them after this.
You have 5 seconds. Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Two. Back in a minute. One.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Dream Girls is looking for a few good men 18 and older, for a serious study on human sexuality. Applicants for this study must apply in person at Dream Girls and present a valid Minnesota ID. Those chosen to participate will be subjected to a wide variety of beautiful women. These women, in various stages of undress, are certified by Dream Girls to elicit a wide range of responses from participating subjects. Men applying at Dream Girls should be in overall good health and free from any heart conditions. Those bearing a ticket stub from any downtown event shall be admitted at no charge. Dream Girls reserves the right to continue weekly appearances by adult film stars. Those wishing to utilize the discreet rear entrance of Dream Girls shall be permitted to do so. For more information or directions to Dream Girls, call 33-DREAM. Make a difference. Choose to participate at Dream Girls. Open late, open now. Just west of Hennepin on 5th Street in downtown Minneapolis. Dream Girls, where your fantasy begins.
I'm Tom Shane, and if you enjoy looking at nice jewelry, I'd love for you to come into the Shane Company. If you've never been into our facility, I promise you a fun yet different shopping experience. You'll discover the largest selection of fine jewelry in the state, and you'll see great designs. You're welcome to browse or just explore on your own. Our people are there to assist you if you desire help, but there's no pressure because they aren't paid on commission. You'll enjoy wandering freely around our store. I designed it unlike any jewelry store you've ever seen, so you'll feel at home. Because the Shane Company is a family-owned business, I see to it that our staff is expertly trained to answer all of your questions or to just let you feel comfortable on your own, as you prefer.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, in Minnetonka at 394 at Hopkins Crossroad and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open weekdays till 8, weekends till 5.
Have you or a loved one ever been the victim of cable television? Have you ever been abused by an uncaring cable company who never gives you the channels and movies you deserve, then charges you out the wazoo? Well, if so, we can help. We're Dish Network Satellite TV, and we know how you feel. Which is why we offer more channels, more choices, and more movies than anyone else. And we can help you deal with the cable anger you keep bottled up inside by offering you a Dish Network satellite system installed free after rebate and qualified programming. Yes, free isn't the way you'll feel after being unleashed from a life of continuous rate hikes and limited movie selection. If you want to feel better, know that you can, but you must take the first step by calling 1-888-399-DISH. That's 1-888-399-DISH. Dish Network, how would you like your TV? Please call us. We're here for you.
Available at Sears and other fine retailers. Offer ends September 30th. Cancellation penalties apply. All prices and packages subject to change without notice. Additional install charges, restrictions, and sales tax may apply. Void where prohibited. 1 year service agreement required.
Hey, it's Mary Lucia of Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. 80s college rock favorites, the Violent Femmes, are in the process of putting together an album of their best acoustic live performances. General All Around, Wingnut, Gordon, Gano, and band have been going through their archives, pulling out their popular tracks like Kiss Off, American Music, and Blister in the Sun, along with a few rarely played cuts, like Country Death Song and Hallowed Ground. The cuts off the album were recorded in October of 98 during a trek through the band's home state. Viva Wisconsin is due in record stores November 23rd. The Zone Files from U.S. West Recruitment and Zone 105.
Alternative Classics. Zone 105. Zone 105 with more At Work Listening Awards. The new Zone 105 card. The new Zone 105 card.
That could be on your site, dude.
It's your ticket to discounts on concerts, CDs, and all Zone 105 events. To get your Zone card, simply email, fax, or drop us a postcard letting us know when and where you listen to Zone 105 at work. We'll put your Zone 105 card in the mail, delivering more At Work Listening Awards.
I'm excited about this. I think this is going to be great.
The Zone 105 card. Alternative Classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight, if you have calls regarding the subject that we're devoting at least the first hour of the show to, which is the Columbine tragedy, you may want to call in with some of those, because we like to kind of stay on the subject. Rob Zombie's going to be in here tomorrow night. He's a good guy, and it's always good to see him. And Adam Goldberg will be in here. He's a real good actor. He's in,
like that, too.
Saving Private Ryan and a bunch of other cool movies, and you might know him from Friends and a few things like that.
We played baseball with him last time.
Yes, we did.
Well, we didn't.
Talk about a real tragedy. Me over at the Dodger Celebrity All-Star Game, sitting on the pine for nine innings, and then almost getting into a fist fight with the manager of the team. That's a tragedy. Alicia and Encinas is here. Also, Courtney Hareville and Rich Hoover all were students and still are students at Columbine, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Why you three? What, I mean, how do you represent the school? Do you represent yourselves? I mean, lots of kids were discussing it tonight that were involved in this thing.
Well, Richard met a friend named Stephanie Curtis over the internet. And they got to talking a lot, and got to talking about coming down to California. And it just so happens that Alicia and I had been talking with Richard before in Colorado, and he invited us to come along.
Done his presentation.
Yeah, we've spoken.
There are lots of kids from Columbine doing this?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't heard of it.
Do you represent the school in some way?
It's kind of scary to say that, but I guess we do.
Now, you understand there's this 5 Miles for Hope project, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you guys, something you guys developed, or is it something that's out there and you're just getting behind it?
That's for the victims' families, I think, are doing that. And they're raising money for the library, the reconstruction of the library.
There's a California version of this, too, at Ontario High School, November 20th, Saturday. The phone number for that is 909-986-0166. 986-0166.
And you go out there and you do 5 miles and you raise money?
Yeah.
Let me give my take on these things. You know, they used to be 10K runs, you know. Then they went down to 6K run. Then they went down to, well, if you want, you can walk.
Right.
Now they're like, hey, if you want to take a bike or a moped, hey, wait a minute now. Get out there and break a sweat. That's what I'm saying. Put the money down and run, all you lazy bastards. Everyone says, it's now turning people out there with their kids and they're the guys sitting in the back of cars, drinking beer, doing it. Whatever happened to the run?
I'm pulled along a trailer.
Yeah, it was like, I think we're alienating too many fat people or old people. We'll just open it to everybody. So you can walk, crawl, skip, whatever you want. But get on out there and raise that raise the money. And the money is being raised for the victims' families and to redo the library as well, right? And let's see. So now it's the SWAT team. When is the SWAT team or the authorities on the scene? How far after, let's say, 11:20 when this whole thing starts up?
When I was walking out, which was about 11:30, I witnessed a sheriff creeping on his motorcycle towards the school, and I think that was about the first time, one of the first cops on the scene.
So cops on the scene. And we were talking when we left off about some students having cell phones.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course there being phones inside
school. I was at the library about a mile away from the school. And a lot of their parents had been getting calls on their cell phones.
So what I'm curious about, because I can't get over the 2 hour part, is couldn't somebody say, hey, there's two guys.
So
I mean,
right,
I know no one knew for sure how many guys, but someone says, you know, it seems to be two guys, and they seem to be confined to this area, the library, and
well, I think the
come
cops,
on down.
The cops had exchanged fire with them.
They had.
Oh, yeah.
They were shooting at him, and there's a lot of stuff going on.
See, a lot of at what point were they exchanging fire? Do you know? I mean, at what mark?
Early on.
The police,
yeah.
the sheriff on scene that was at our school had exchanged, I think, shot two or three shots at him.
Early on, when they were
the
coming,
very
were coming in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the very beginning.
And
they were
then,
still in the parking lot then, yet.
Right? No, they were at school.
When they first got to the school.
So he went to go get backup or something.
Something.
See that no time for backup thing. It's only in the movie. So he went to go. He didn't stay with them, in other words. He went. And I don't blame the guy. Don't get me wrong.
Well, there's
a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
Sure. And so he goes off to, you know, get backup or radio. So I'm guessing he's on the horn almost immediately,
right,
saying, hey, bring the SWAT team, too.
Well,
I mean, this guy's got
when we had gotten out of the school and walked over to the park, there were police. There were so many cars from the school all the way to the street in a mile.
So still, I can't figure out then, too. I mean, so they know there's a couple of guys, and they're relatively sure, and they can communicate well enough to sort of figure out where these guys are. Why, I don't understand why the whole SWAT team isn't just bum-rushing the place.
It's kind of tough. They didn't know who was who. They didn't know if the gunmen, when they were taking kids out, they didn't know if they were the victims or maybe one of the gunmen. All they had to do was take off their trench coat.
Right.
And they could be a regular student.
Right.
And they also didn't know if the gunmen had any hostages or anything, and you don't want to, like, bust in on somebody.
Well,
on one of them.
If they're there, though, sort of clearly, not because they have any demands, but just because they're there to kill indiscriminately,
right,
it seems like, hey, you better just go in and see if you can, you know, cut the losses in a way. I mean, I understand if they want something, they're negotiating something like that, then you got to talk to them. But if it seems like they're just in there sort of executing people, well, anyway. And I wonder how different this would have been if it was in New York or L.A. or Chicago, where there's SWAT teams are sort of used to doing this kind of stuff.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm glad to say I live here in L.A. where we have a very well-trained SWAT team. They're rarely ever in their beds. They're always rappelling down something. That's so I'm guessing that these guys weren't what you call Navy SEALs. I mean, it wasn't happening every day. It wasn't something that they were.
You also got to keep in mind
there's
2,000 kids at this school.
Right.
And you don't really plan for a school. You know, you plan for a
right. But at a certain point, you know, just not too long after the thing started, there was a ton of cops there, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just wonder why 2 hours went by before they headed in. What do we want to do? Want to take some calls?
Yep.
All right. Zach?
Uh-huh.
You're 16.
Yeah.
You're on with some of the Columbine students.
Yeah, okay. I had a question, like, you know how, like, the guys are shooting everywhere and stuff? Well, like, what were you thinking? Like, because you could, like, be killed any minute now.
Well, for me, it was, I really didn't know what was going on. I knew they were shooting off and stuff. I wasn't sure if anybody had gotten shot. I think right away I was just afraid for my safety and for my friend's safety and just the fact of not knowing anything was really scary to me.
At least you knew they were shooting to kill.
Yeah.
You'd seen them.
Yeah.
Did you we eyeball to eyeball with the guy?
Well, he just, like, looked right at us, and he was just shooting. And
how close did you get to him physically? I mean, when you're going down the hall, you turned right.
Yeah, we turned right, and he was at the end of the hall, and we had gotten almost to the middle of the hall, so we were pretty close with him.
50 feet or 100 feet, or what do you think?
Maybe 100.
I mean, were you with anything strange about his look, or did you know him?
It's just,
did you think, oh, my God, this is so-and-so, what's he up to, what's going on?
Well, I couldn't tell who he was.
Yeah.
Any of them ask him?
Would you have known him? You wouldn't have recognized him. Okay, but you were close enough that you could see, you know, there's a guy there.
Yeah,
I mean,
a guy.
And he turned around and started firing.
Yeah.
And that's as close as you came to him.
That's as close as I came. And, you know, I realized it was real when bullets were flying past my head. So.
Right. Hmm. Hey, Zach?
Yeah?
Thanks.
Yeah, I just got to say, man, you guys got a lot of guts.
That's, thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll go to Ryan, who's 20. What's up there, Ryan? Hey.
What's up, Drew? What's up, Adam?
Ryan.
All right, my question is for the Columbine students. You know, after you've been through it all, what is the most positive thing that you can get out of the whole experience?
That's a good question.
Well, first of all, you gain a lot of friendships. I mean, we're pretty much friends with everybody now at the school, and there's no tension, really. We try not to build tension between friendships and stuff.
I liked the fact that the whole community pulled together and that we were just allowed to do a lot of stuff with our fellow classmates and meet new people and get closer to the people that we hadn't been so close with before. Probably just the same thing, and actually the experience and opportunity to come to other states and, you know, share our experiences and, you know,
get thrown out playing softball.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that before.
Well, they actually let me stay in, and I got to third.
Double for
I know, but come on, they throw you out, and yeah, honey, go stand on second base. I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
All right, but I think what we experience here, or what you've experienced, is what oftentimes happens, which is somebody does this sort of extreme and horrible act, and you think humanity's going into the garbage, and then everyone seems to rise to the occasion.
You think that it lessen the community, but it really made us so much stronger. Individually.
And you find out that there are a lot more good people than bad people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, quite a few.
Right.
Quite a few more.
And it also brings the good out of people.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We have some of the Columbine students here tonight. And when we come back, we'll ask more questions and take more questions after this.
Love Line, Adam Carolla, and Dr. Drew. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Screaming guitars. Thunder and drums. Put them together and you've got a hot sound. But any musician is only as good as the instrument they play. That's why musicians that want the gear that rocks head for DC Music USA. DC Music USA has hundreds of guitars, amps, and drum sets in stock every day. Dash into DC Music USA right now and choose from 20 to 30 Gibsons in stock. That's right, the best guitars you can buy. Les Pauls, SGs, and ES-335s in stock. For those of you just getting started, DC Music USA offers lessons and some great deals to get you picking, like brand new acoustics for just $99. Want to go loud, electric? DC Music USA has electric guitar and amp packages with everything you need to get you ripping for under $300. Again, if you're new to this, that is a killer deal. Now's the time to stop by DC Music USA, located one block north of Hanson Boulevard in Coon Rapids, and open 7 days a week. At DC Music USA, they sell more gear for less every day to everyone.
Did you know the Twin Cities is the fourth largest advertising market in the United States? The fifth largest printing market? Did you know the Twin Cities is considered by many to be a hotbed for interactive multimedia production? Well, it's true. You live in an area where computer graphics plays a large role in a wide variety of industries. This means great job opportunities for those who have the skills necessary to enter the exciting worlds of advertising, entertainment, education, business, and more. Now, did you know there is a unique place in the Twin Cities where you can learn computer graphics, multimedia, and computer animation design? That place is the Minnesota School of Computer Imaging, a division of Minnesota School of Business and Globe College. MSCI specializes in detailed computer graphics programs. You have the opportunity. Combine the great employment options locally with MSCI, and you are on your way to using your creativity for a career you can be proud of. For a free information packet, call 651-229-3600. 651-229-3600. Now you know.
Hello, Monica. Yes, sir. Bob, it's me. Listen, Sugar Plum, I'm in kind of a jam. It seems that there's a few presents that Betty forgot to pick up. Well, to tell you the truth, Donald, I'm going to need that stuff from Sex World back. Uh-huh. Well, it's a long story, and come on, Monica, honey. I think this is serious stuff here. First off, the videos, Tommy and Pamela Lee, and then Vince Neil and Janine, all the DVDs, too. Oh, geez, yes, all those toys from Sex World 2, all the vibrators, the pleasure beads, yep, lingerie, leather, the lace, all of it. That's a good girl. Say, Monica, after this whole thing blows over, why don't we get together? I hear Sex World sells cigars now, and, well... Hello? Monica, where'd you go, darling?
Sex World, now featuring cigars and cigarettes, 24 hours a day, 241 2nd Avenue North in the Warehouse District, downtown Minneapolis.
Time for the Weekly Planner. Join us at Brothers Wednesday night, Old Chicago and Uptown Thursday night, and Mayslack Saturday night for great prizes, specials, and experience the mystery of black and tan. Join Shelley Miller on Halloween night at Gators from 10 to midnight. The person wearing the best costume will win a trip for two anywhere in the continental U.S., care of Northwest Airlines and Pepsi. South Lindale Liquor's annual wine sale is going on right now through November 6th. Hundreds of wines are at the lowest prices of the year. South Lindale Liquor is located at 53rd and Lindale in South Minneapolis. For more info, call 827-5811. Join Wendy at Moose Country on Highway 13 in Lilydale this Thursday from 10 to midnight for great prizes, specials, and they'll be giving away the trip for two to Dublin. That's the Weekly Planner. Keep listening for updates.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Alicia, Courtney, and Rich are all here from Columbine High School, and they were there in April, right? The tragedy went down. And they're just sharing with us their experiences firsthand, and man.
Hey, Alicia's actually starting to have a reaction, which you'd expect to talk about traumatic experiences. Did any of you have a post-traumatic stress reaction?
I think we all have PTSD.
Say drained, can't sleep, moods are off, can't concentrate. Mm-hmm.
So now, wait a minute, I got that.
I know, you got everything DD, SDDD.
Same thing.
Has that really settled down now and just sort of talking about these things?
Well, the six-month kind of brought it up for a lot of us again.
Yeah.
Six-month anniversary?
Yeah.
And is this okay, you going out and talking about it? You guys have people...
It kind of helps more, because it kind of makes us feel like we're doing something about it.
Making meaning out of it.
Right.
Is there any, do you guys have any treatment? Do they offer you this in the community there?
Yeah, we have mental health.
We all have psychologists.
Yeah.
You all see somebody?
Yeah, we're all seeing somebody.
Once a week?
Medication, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting experiment. I bet these Columbine kids end up doing better.
Because they got treatment, and pushed them into treatment.
Well, it's like they talked about the tragedy for the first 10 minutes, and then they start getting into their dad. At the end, I swear to God, if we followed everyone's progress, I'm sure everyone's marriages would be lasting longer, and the relationships would be better.
It's a great study. It's interesting.
Wouldn't be bad, man. How long...
I'll do it if I get paid.
Do they want to provide this? I mean, as long as you need it, or is it for the first year, or 6 months, or...
I think we have a $5,000 limit each student.
Actually, where is that being funded by?
Actually, through my therapist. She's going through a victim's advocate. Yeah, a victim's advocate. Uh-huh. So
I'm clueless.
I think as long.
You're a therapist?
I do. I don't know what they do. I don't know. Let my mom handle it.
Is it an elective thing? Is everyone required to go?
No. It's all strict.
People want to go.
There's only a certain amount of therapists that work with victim's advocate, and they just have like a little number.
Mm-hmm.
And every 12 visits, I think it is, they send in what the victim's advocate will pay them back for their services.
So you go in and you meet with them and you sit down for an hour? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
I'm paying $90 for that, you understand?
Yeah. $90. It's expensive. It's
no
expensive.
Less. No.
9 years.
Well, off and on. I passed that 5,000 limit along.
Is it working?
A long time ago.
Go look at him.
Yes.
I've seen him before.
Oh, please. Don't embarrass me in front of the youngins.
Hey, there's we gave out a number earlier for the Ontario Walk for Hope. There's the Hope Columbine Denver Foundation at 455 Sherman Street, Denver, Colorado, 80203. It's the HOPE Columbine, care of the Denver Foundation, 455 Sherman Street, Denver, 80203, which is accepting donations. Apparently, going to rebuild your library.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people are.
See that
a lot of people are wondering because a lot of the fundraising funds are down, so they wonder what to do. And that's a good one too. That's
now. Are they? Do they take the library down to the foundation and rebuild it, or are they repurpose it? Or
the library is on top of the cafeteria.
I see.
So they're thinking about taking out the floor and making it like a big window looking at the mountains.
A big atrium.
Yeah.
And mountains. What's that?
Oh, yes.
Mountains. Rocket mountains.
Mountains.
Oh, my God. Oh. Okay, so the... So you guys have returned to school, right?
Oh, yeah.
The school was closed down for the rest of that.
Right. We went to local Chatfield High School.
And you guys were transferred, and how did they treat you over at the Chatfield?
Wonderfully. Oh, every day we got a gift. We got a new shirt.
Yeah.
New shirt every day?
Pretty much. They just gave us shirts every day.
So
books.
The students sort of reached out to you then?
Actually, we didn't see the students a whole lot. They went for the first part of the day, and then they were told to leave.
We got at 6 o'clock. We were getting out to the news.
Yeah.
It was weird.
So we go from like 12 to 6.
Oh, because they broke it off into shifts.
Yeah.
Would they bring your teachers over?
Oh, yeah.
So it's your faculty or everything.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you guys steal their mascot or anything good?
I mean, no.
It's funny because they're
rivals.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. True rivals.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rivals. Like in the football games and all that.
Oh, yeah.
We beat them pretty good this year.
Well, that's a fine how do you do. See what happens when you extend your hand? They'll put a whooping on you.
Okay, let's take one Loveline call before the break.
All righty.
So let's guys grapple with the usual material here.
Jason?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Oh. Adam, you're a god.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
You guys recognize me as a god. You and your fellow.
Oh, yeah.
Good. The word to get out.
We see Jew's brilliance to counter that.
Sorry.
To counter his godliness.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, let's see what I thought. One of my really good friends was confiding in me and told me she was raped and asked me not to say anything, which I'm having trouble with because at my school, I'm one of the peer counselors, and you're obligated to say things like this, but it wasn't in the, you know...
therapeutic context.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. Who did this to her, do you know?
Wouldn't tell me.
Wouldn't tell you, but did you get the impression it was, does she have a boyfriend?
No, no.
So this was just something...
Party.
Pardon me?
A party.
At a party.
Is she someone you've known to have been victimized in the past?
No. No, never.
How long ago did this happen?
Last week.
And she told you sort of right after it happened?
Two or three days after.
You got, so she needs a morning after pill, she needs an STD check. I mean, you're a peer counselor, Jason. You've got to get her in.
I gave her my little list thing that I have of all the resources and stuff.
Do you think she followed up on any of those?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Especially the morning after pill. I'm like, I mean, but she has the clock was ticking on that one.
Yeah.
Is she a good friend of yours?
Yeah, definitely.
And
I'm at a loss. Like, I feel bad because I know I'm supposed to help her, but she asked me not to say anything.
Well, I think morally you're obliged to do what's right, not necessarily what they ask you to do.
It's true, friend.
I mean, if someone said, look, I got a real strong pain in my abdomen, but don't tell anybody, don't tell the doctor, I'll be fine. Yeah. You should go tell them, even if they make you swear not to say anything.
That's right.
Because it's sort of a moral obligation.
You can try to persuade her to do what's right. You can really work her. But beyond that, look, for her sake, you have to do what's right.
Yeah.
Really, fast.
Okay.
Well, what is there to do now? I mean, she probably didn't take the morning after pill. Now there's counseling and going to the cops and seeing if he can get this guy.
Too late, too, probably.
Hey, Jason?
Yeah.
Why don't, before you tell somebody, talk to her one more time and just explain how important it is that you guys keep moving in some direction.
Okay.
With this. I mean, okay, maybe you don't have to call a counselor, but she should get some counseling, though.
Got to get her in. You know where she needs to go. Just get her there.
Yeah.
All right?
I have one more thing for the Columbine students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I read in the paper the other day that one of the girl who was wounded.
Anne-Marie.
Her mom.
Yeah,
we really want to send our love out to her. She's going through a real hard time right now.
Yeah.
Oh, her mother committed suicide?
Yeah.
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh,
right.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, tragedy on tragedy. We don't have time. Actually, we'll take a break. I'm curious whether you guys, and don't answer this yet, think it was connected to what her daughter went through, or maybe a combination of both, as we know. No one wants to do it that way. It's all black and white, but I'm sure there's a little depression there mixed in with this and everything else. We'll take a little break. We have some of the Columbine students here, and we'll be back after this.
Oh, yeah.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
They were a true Hollywood success story. A comedy duo at the top of the show business ladder. And then sex, drugs, and rock and roll caused the partnership of Cheech and Chong to go up in smoke.
Hey, wait a minute. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll is what made Cheech and Chong. They broke up when Cheech cut his friggin' hair and started hanging out with Kevin Costner and that Miami Vice guy.
I like it.
But hey, Tommy Chong is still smoking. And you can see him live at Knuckleheads in the Mall of America. That's right. Knuckleheads Comedy Club presents the mayor of Stonerville, Tommy Chong.
Oh, wow, man.
October 28th and 29th at 8 and 10:30 at Knuckleheads, fourth floor in the Mall of America. Tickets are $16 and $18. So get yourself ready to see Tommy Chong appearing live on October 28th and 29th at Knuckleheads in the Mall of America.
Wow, what a five guineas, man.
Sponsored by General Cinema, Sativa's Closet, and the Fun Shop. Oh, and don't worry. We'll be sure there's plenty of nachos available. You know what I mean? For reservations, call 612-854-LAFF.
When you buy a car without looking under the hood, then why buy a diamond without looking at it with the proper tools? I'm Doug Spence, and when you visit Spence Diamonds in Roseville and Bloomington, we'll show you exactly what you're buying. Nowhere else will you see your diamond as closely as you do at Spence Diamonds. We'll show you different diamonds through our microscopes, explaining in plain English what you should be looking for. We'll also use proportion scopes and diamond lights. These tools were designed for consumers. They're easy to use, and you'll quickly learn to compare diamond grades and prices. At Spence Diamonds, we're proud of both the quality and the value we provide. And once you understand how to compare diamonds, you'll see that quality and value for yourself. Visit Spence Diamonds in Roseville or Bloomington and see your diamond engagement ring in a whole new light.
Minnesota's leading bridal diamond destination, Spence Diamonds. In Roseville on County B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center. And in Bloomington on Lindale, just south of the 494. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
Welcome to the King's Flower Shop, man.
I need a bouquet of baby's breath for my anniversary.
Baby's breath, man?
The banks are closed, and that's all the cash I got.
Well, man, here's a little advice. If you buy her baby's breath, you'll be out the door. If you buy her roses, man, you definitely will do okay. Go to New Money Express, 24 hours of cash your check. Get some cash for roses, man, or you'll be sleeping on the deck.
Hey, thanks, man. What's your name?
Well, I'm Elway. Elway McPherson.
New Money Express will cash your check 24 hours a day, no hassles. Plus MoneyGram International Money Transfer. It's just as fast as Western Union and costs a lot less. You can save up to $5 every time, and that includes a free 3-minute domestic phone call. New Money Express, open 24 hours at 108 East Lake Street, Minneapolis, and long hours at 785 East 7th Street, St. Paul. Call 824-CASH. Please send $5199 regular domestic fee comparison.
I am Brian.
I am Larry. Mornings on Zone 105. We are making the new promo.
I like shoes, string potatoes.
Brian's wearing a blue shirt.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
We are sometimes funny,
but often pretty lame.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Join us Tuesday morning on the show. We'll have ABC live in the Zone 105 studios. Yeah, this is comedy. Doesn't get much better than this.
Alternative classics. Classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. It is Loveline. We'll take a quick 10-second top of the hour break here, and we'll be back with more of the show in just 10 seconds.
This is Loveline on Radio Station. Zone.